Hello and welcome to GBBO The Bake Down, the unofficial Great British Bake Off podcast. I'm your host Kira, and on this podcast we are going to break down or bake down every episode of the Great British Bake Off. Things might get a little technical, but hopefully in the end it'll be a showstopper. On your marks, get set, podcast. Hello and you're very welcome to The Bake Down. My name is Kira and I am a huge Great British Bake Off fan, and I'm guessing you are too as you're listening to this podcast right now. The aim of this podcast is to be a companion piece to the main show, which is apparently wrapping up filming currently, I believe. So season 12 is set to start in September on Channel 4. So in a month or so from now, the main part of the podcast will be following the new episodes. And I hope to put up on the Wednesday after. It seems to always be on a Tuesday. So that's the aim I have for this podcast. And I hope you really enjoy it. I have watched all of the Great British Bake Offs over the years. I really got into it there when it was all put up on Netflix UK and Ireland, I suppose. And I went back to the start and watched them all, and I enjoyed seeing the changes over the years, and it's just like one of my shows that I like to watch every year. I've no real background in baking. I love cooking and I do bake the odd banana bread, or I have tried a Victoria sponge a few times and brownies and things like that, but I'm not really on the technical side of things, a baker, but that doesn't matter. The show is so interesting, and I think it's just the characters you see along the way and just the diversity of the different lives that the bakers have and the different age groups, the different backgrounds. And I really love that about the Great British Bake Off, and I'm sure as we go through this new series we'll get in more in depth into why it's such a great show and the great moments in it. So I just wanted to be kind of a natural show. My background, as I said, nothing to do with baking, but I do love reality TV shows. I mean, there's so many reality TV shows that I follow every year, especially these competition shows. I love The Apprentice as well. And I'm sure I'll probably reference a few of my other favorite shows as we go through the year, my yearly shows that I enjoy. But I do hope to have this episode, we'll just go through the first ever episode of Great British Bake Off. I thought that might be a fun way to start, to go season one, episode one. I checked on Netflix UK and Ireland there yesterday and they were all taken off. So I don't know if you've noticed that too, let me know. So I did have to go through the Netflix USA and they're up there as the Great British Baking Show. I still can't get used to that title change, but I suppose they have to have different titles all over the world. So that is where I'm going to be watching that. Obviously, the more newer series from about 2017 are up on Channel 4, so, or on All 4 on that. So you can catch up on those as well. And they did a lovely show over the lockdown in 2020, I think. They went back over the best bits, the two episodes of the best bits, going over the most dramatic and interesting and crazy bits. And then they had two episodes talking about the winners, which was fantastic. So I might go over them as well. So let's just talk a little bit about the Great British Bake Off in general. Obviously, it's a baking competition. And I think what's really exciting is it kind of, a lot of other competition shows have lent their, have borrowed from GBBO. For example, the Great Pottery Slam Down. I hope I'm saying that wrong. Throwdown. Sorry, I call it Slam Down. But I love that show as well. Following exactly the same format pretty much, and the Great British Sewing Bee, which I've only watched a little bit of. So it's produced by Love Productions and it's all amateur bakers who have to impress the judges, and then one contestant's eliminated and then a winner is chosen at the end of the series. So when did it first come out? It actually came out over 10 years ago on the 17th of August 2010, which is interesting because I'm recording this on the 17th of August. Okay, weird. That's creepy. So its first four series are broadcast on BBC Two, and then because it was so popular, it went to BBC One for the next three series, and then after seven series, it signed a three-year deal with Channel 4, Love Productions did, to produce them. So obviously the presenters and things have changed over the years. We'd Mel and Sue, and then obviously we'd Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood, who is the only judge who's kept going throughout. But then obviously Noel Fielding and Sandy Toksvig took over, and then now we've Matt Lucas, so and Prue Leith as the new members of the team. So yes, it really is interesting to look at it as that 10-year cycle, and I suppose when I go through episode one, we'll see probably some changes they've made over the years, which are quite interesting. Like, I used to love the little history sections that Mel and Sue did. They've taken that out in the recent years, and I think certain bits of the format have changed, but not too much. So yes, it's a BAFTA winning program. There's been charity series of it for Sport Relief, Comic Relief and Stand Up to Cancer, and Junior Bake Off, which I did watch as well. I think I've watched most of the charity series, but yeah, they are interesting with the celebrity bakers. There is an after show called Extra Slice. I don't normally tune into that, but I have tuned in a bit, and it is a good show as a companion. And also there's the Bake Off the Professionals, which unfortunately I haven't watched yet, but we'll get around to that. So the 12th series is due to air. Generally, it comes out, I think, in September. So we should have a date for that possibly soon in the next couple of weeks. So yes, there is the format that I talked about already has also been used in the other series, the Sewing Bee and the Throwdown. And yeah, there's other global versions of it as well. So how was it developed? The baking competition was conceived by producer Anna Beattie, who'd seen bake-offs in America. So it kind of, the British version kind of is inspired by the classic English fete. So that's why they have the baking competition in a big white tent. That's all part of that. And the traditional gingham and things like that kind of lend themselves to that British kind of aesthetic, the English village fete. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then it became literally like the most popular show on BBC for a time, which I thought was really interesting. And I think also its appeal is kind of, it's a family friendly show. So pretty much everyone can get involved and watch it. Obviously it's at 8 PM at night. So that's prime time television, and it's brilliant. It's really popular here in Ireland as well. And in Britain. So I'm really looking forward to getting into it. So I will let you know that what is coming up here, I will go through series one, episode one. So I tried to get a hold of season one, episode one of the very first ever episode of Great British Bake Off, but I was unable to find it. It's come off Netflix UK and Ireland for me anyway. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to go to the show that was put out in December 2020 on Channel 4, which is called The Winners. And that goes back through all the winners. So we're going to start with the first ever winner. And when you put on The Winners show, you'll see some cool drone shots of the tent, and you'll see a montage of all the different bakers and winners. And I see two of my favorite winners in there, Rahul and Nadia. I really like those bakers and I follow them, especially Nadia on, she has some really good tips up, and, you know, she's had really cool shows as well. And Rahul as well, he really was a fantastic baker. I really enjoyed watching him. So you hear some audio clips of Mel and Sue and Sandy and Noel and Mary Berry and Paul and Prue, and they're kind of talking about the show that they say grip the nation, and they're going to talk to the 10 champions, and they're going to come from the most famous tent in the world. So we start in the year 2010, and there's a clip of the afternoon tea party, and we have Ruth and Ed, the two finalists. And the first thing you notice when watching it, even though for some reason 2010 doesn't sound like that long ago to me, you notice the fashions are so different, and there's a few different things, and they're having their afternoon tea party, and they say the winner is, and then it goes to 6 weeks earlier. So we see Ed, who won the first technical with a kind of banoffee cake, and he's getting high praise from Paul saying he has the perfect loaf, and Mary saying it's the best bread we have. And we hear a little bit about Ed and how he's a bank clerk and how he lost 8 stone in weight. And he just has unbelievable focus and in his work, obviously, and in his life and his baking. So it kind of goes through the differences that you don't see anymore. Like, for example, there was carpet. There's a carpet was greener, they say, and they would be in a different part of the country every week. So they were in Cornwall, Scotland, different places. And also interesting, you see that Paul Hollywood has spiky hairstyle, and which was the style at the time, I suppose. And that he also is the one who kind of kept track of the time. So he would say like 5 minutes left to the bakers. So yeah, it gripped the nation then, of course. The public got really into it, and we start seeing some of the catchphrases such as soggy bottom and things like that. But Ed is getting unbelievable praise. He has amazing, beautiful macaroons, and he makes it to the quarterfinal. But unfortunately, Mary's really disappointed with his lemon souffle. He's not good at making it, and he thinks he might have to go, and he's having a problem with a rhubarb roulade, which seems to be stuck in the tin. And you know, the rhubarb, she said, needs way more cooking. It's a little bit crisp. So he thinks he might be going home. But then another person called David goes home because he put no egg yolks. And that was game over, he said. Unfortunately, Paul said, I should say, it was unforgivable not to put egg yolks in your, souffle? Yes, souffle. he just put egg whites in it. It just looks a little bit eggy. So they make it to the semi-final in Cornwall. And there are, I believe Miranda and Ruth. Yes, Miranda and Ruth are there. And Miranda is famous for her beautiful decoration and her taste and her technical skills. And Ruth is given unbelievable praise, saying that her cake could be put in front of royalty. And she talks about her own journey and how her experiences, that she never went to university, and she kind of feels like her confidence has dipped, but this has given her such a boost in her confidence. So the three finalists, Miranda, Ruth and Ed, of course, have to make the bake, which is called a signature miniature cake. And Ed kind of makes a fruit cake, and it's I think it's got banana in it, but it has a bit of a muffin top that has to be cut off. It's a banoffee kind of cake, but apparently it's a bit of a mess. Then Mary says that it's an exquisite cake. Ruth, her cake, you can taste the mint, but cannot taste the ginger. Mary said it is moist and she does like it. And then we have Miranda, who does a cupcake. And Paul questions, does a cupcake fall in line with afternoon tea? So that's interesting. Paul was obviously very particular about their choice of bakes at the time. Bear in mind, this is only season one. Mary gives a really good kind of marker for whether you would go for a second one or not. If you don't want to go for a second one, maybe there's no point in it winning. But yeah, it kind of made me think, because often when I'm watching the show, I don't know how they do it, because I wouldn't know how to taste all these different things. It feels like it'd be too much food altogether, but I'm sure they have their methods. Now, the interesting thing about this deliberation is they're waiting for them in an outdoor area to come back and announce the winners, and they take 5 hours to talk about it. They thought they were only going to take maybe 30 minutes, but they had to compare every single bake that they'd done over the 6 weeks. And then we get the winner. We get the final two. It went to a final two then. I think in recent years it's final three. But anyway, Mel comes out and tells them that Miranda is going home, but she gets a lovely bit of praise from Mary, who says she reminds her of her. So she was really happy with that and really proud. Now, when they go to the final, they have to make 24 of three different things, or maybe four different things. They have to make scones, 24 shoe buns, and 24 tarts. And Ruth makes the scones that are too big and not consistent in shape. So Mary calls her out on that. And she makes lovely profiteroles. But Ed, he gets three big yeses from both of them, and they mention that they're in total agreement. And it kind of reminded me that, you know, it is interesting when Mary and Paul were working together, how they might agree on certain things and might disagree on certain things. So all their family and friends are there. And then we see that Ed is crowned the winner. So he's really excited. And Ruth is told by Paul's family is, I'm listening to my dog doing something strange out there, out in the hallway. What is he doing? Okay, apologies for that little break, trying to concentrate. I'll go and have a look at him in a few moments. But just to finish off the winner of 2010 Series 1, we have Ruth being told by Paul and telling her family, don't ever let her give up. She's the second best baker in the country and she's extremely proud. And it's a great episode to see it's a great example across the episode to see the great relationships that they had with Mel, Sue, Paul and Mary, and obviously the great casting as well. So I'm going to just check on my little dog and then I'll come back with 2011, second year. Okay, we're back. Sorry, I couldn't quite figure out what he was doing. I think he was just scraping a little carpet out there in the hallway. So 2011 was the year two, second year of Great British Bake Off, and they abandoned the moving around the country element and they stayed put in Essex this year. So another thing that was noted on the show, I think Noel Fielding is narrating that Paul has ditched the niceties. He says he's giving out a little bit more criticism, saying things are cloggy, stodgy, things like that. So we are introduced to our potential winner, Joe, who speaks about being a grandmother at the age of 41. And this is what she says is the first kind of thing that she's done for herself, which is really interesting. And she talks to the presenters about how her three sons rate her food. And it could be a 1 out of 10, 3 out of 10, 6 out of 10 at the most. So she's not getting great praise at home, but definitely in the tent, she's getting amazing praise. She does very well in her first date. So straight away, Joe is a front runner. We also have Holly, who is a kind of a practice makes perfect person. And I think she was the first ever star baker, which was a new feature introduced in the year two, the second year 2011 of the show. Now, Joe, we see her going through a few little disasters with her technicals, including the oven being on defrost. That's something I'd probably make that mistake if I was in there pressing the wrong button on the oven. So we get to the quarterfinal and Joe makes a rum and raisin cheesecake in 15 minutes. So she literally only needs 15 minutes to make this. So it's perfect. And she just shows her amazing skill there and her amazing ability. Then she wins the technical with a fantastic roulade and her showstopper by Mary. It's called To Die For. And she becomes the star baker and moves into the final four. When we get to the semi-final, unfortunately, Joe, her nerves get the better of her and she's overthinking things a little bit. But I believe Paul is gobsmacked by her. I think they're kind of Danish pastries that she's made. And then Joe makes it to the final with Marianne and Holly. Now, they make these lovely slices. I don't know what they're called, but I suppose in Ireland we often have in bakeries something called like a cream slice or a vanilla slice or a coffee slice. They kind of make these slices. It's probably a name for them. It's probably mille feuille or something like that. But what happens is Holly's are a little bit tough and Mary Ann has a little bit of a mishap too. So Joe wins the technical in this semi-final. And then they make it to the final. And it looks like Joe and Holly are in the final too. And they have the afternoon tea. And Mary says Joe's Victoria Sponge is, quote, one of the best I've tasted. So that's an amazing praise. And Joe looks so proud at the time. And they have to make a tart as well for the afternoon tea. And Mary cannot fault it. Oh, I think it was Paul. He couldn't fault it at all. But Mary says it's difficult to eat, but that's the only thing she can say about it. So it comes to the end and Sue announces the winner is Joe. And she's absolutely overcome with emotion and she's overwhelmed and extremely proud of herself. And she gets an amazing big trophy. I wish they would bring those back. They look really cool. So, guys, I've just gone through the first two winners. That's really just a taster of the kind of thing that we'll be doing on this podcast. Sorry about the episode one of season one. I would love to do a real deep dive into that, but it's not happening right now. If anyone knows how I can access it, let me know. But thank you for listening. And I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into the new season. If you do go on Instagram, you'll see that a few of the people on there have mentioned that it's coming back. I think there was a photo shared by Paul Hollywood there recently of the tent that he was excited to be back. And I think also Matt Lucas shared some information as well. I don't normally follow them, but you know, now I'm actually going to see and kind of see if they give any clues of when it's coming back and follow all the people that are on the show. And I just can't wait to meet the new cast. So thank you for listening, and I will see you again very soon.